Hey there, and welcome back to the Mini Weekend. I'm your host, Jack. Let's crack a beer and get the ball rolling, Mini. Just here for the beer. What are we drinking tonight? Tonight we went with the FAD New England Double IPA. And right off the bat, I like it. It tastes a little different than I was expecting. The hoppiness is different. It's more of like a subtle aftertaste hoppiness. And it's almost a little more citrusy before that, which is unusual. I think the more you taste it, the more the hoppiness becomes apparent. Because, I mean, let's be frank. That's why you drink IPAs. So yes, before we dive into it, yes, I am still recovering from my sickness. I don't know if I sound better or worse than last week, but I can tell you guys right now, I feel better this week versus last week. So thank you again for those reaching out, wishing me getting better soon. So with that, the FAD, the freaking awesome, delicious New England Double IPA, is from Omni Brewery and Tap Room. Omni Brewery, this is a brewery that we've done before. Excuse me. But for those that don't remember, it is in Maple Grove, Minnesota. It is kind of right there between, it's off of, what street is this? Zachary Lane North. And it's to the west of Zachary Lane, and it's kind of sandwiched right there between, what's that, Highway 81 and 610. I have to be honest with you guys, I still have not yet been to it myself. Been very close to it because there's a Dunkin' Donuts right by it that's not far from my kid's daycare. So I've definitely been in the area, but I'm upset with myself for not trying it out yet. So I have not been there yet, but if you have been, let me know what to try out. Like I said, we've done this brewery before, so I definitely remember the cool things that they got going on and all that kind of stuff. The can, it says, get ready for a big aromatic hoppy orange juice bomb. This is one you're going to need more of even after it's cool. So there you go. That's where you're getting the citrus from. I'll be honest with you guys, I like it. I don't love it. I've had a lot of IPAs, double IPAs on this podcast that I like more than this. So let's just get right out and, I'll give it a 6.8. It's kind of right there. In my mind, I think 6.8 sounds right. I would put it anywhere between, you know, a 6.5 and a 7.5. That kind of range, that's where it's at. Again, this is coming from somebody who enjoys IPAs. It's just not my favorite one. They have another one, Lake Day, that I think is personally better than that. And I think I gave that one somewhere in the 8s. But again, it's, you know, there's definitely a place for it. I do like it, and I think a lot of people will probably like it even more than I do. But more about the brewery, omnibrewing.com. Go check them out. You can also check them out on Facebook and Instagram. They got a lot of cool stuff. They have an outdoor seating area that'll probably be open until really, really low temperatures, freezing temperatures, or the snow starts to fall. They have a lot of cool events coming up. They have Oktoberfest on September 19th. They have Glee Trivia in September, Gilmore Girls Trivia in October, and then Friends Trivia and Disney Animation Trivia both in November. So lots of cool things. They got some good food. I've definitely, again, I've never been there, but I have had some people that have been there that say their pizza is very good. And they have a wide array of things to choose from as far as drinking is concerned. So with that, I will leave you guys with, go check them out, Monday through Thursdays, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., Friday through Saturday, 11 to 11, and Sundays, 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. So with that, we only have a little bit of news for you guys today as far as Tommy Town is concerned. First off, it was actually announced the day after the last podcast that the Tommy men's basketball team will be traveling to New York and then Italy from the 20th to the 30th. Yes, you heard that correctly. The University of St. Thomas men's basketball team will be heading overseas for a foreign tour to conclude its summer practice schedule. The Tommy's first international trip. This will be as a Division I program, begins with a 2-day stop in New York while they are traveling to Rome, Naples, the Amalfi Coast, and Pompeii. St. Thomas will play 3 games against different area professional teams in Rome and Naples. John Tower had this to say about the trip. This trip is an incredible opportunity for our student athletes and staff to develop camaraderie and experience a different culture and learn together, compete together, and build our team for the 2023-2024 season. The NCAA permits foreign travel every 4 years, and St. Thomas last traveled abroad to Costa Rica and Panama in 18, and then Costa Rica in 2015. So the Tommies were allowed actually 10 summer practices in preparation for this trip, which concludes the summer practice season for the program. And the new basketball season tickets will be available later this month once the non-conference schedule is finalized. So stay tuned for that. And then lastly, it was announced just a couple of days ago on Monday that the Tommy Football's streaming partner. So we talked a little bit last week about Midco Plus being the place for all Summit League stuff, and the football team will be joining them as well. On Monday, the Director of Athletics, Phil Easton, announced the department will partner with Midco Sports as well to live stream all home football games through Midco Sports Plus and the Midco Sports Plus app. The Midco Sports app will provide a digital streaming platform for regular season home St. Thomas games. Yes, unfortunately, that means there will no longer be streamed games through St. Thomas's official athletics website, TommySports.com. Instead, fans will need to subscribe to the Midco Sports app. The subscription cost is $9.99 per month or $79.99 for an annual plan. The good news for those people looking to watch these games but maybe are like, what the heck, why do I got to pay that much? It's also worth noting with this membership, you would also be given access to all home games for all Summit League sports. So basketball, baseball, softball, volleyball, things like that. So super excited to hear that they have a place to do their games a couple weeks before the season starts. So we will just jump right into our local business shout out for the week. And I feel bad I'm doing it on their last week that they're doing it. But it is that time of the year. So the game fair held in Ramsey, Minnesota. I know we've shouted out this place the last couple years, and I urge you guys, if you haven't, go check them out. It's really cool. My wife and I are actually taking our dog for the 3rd straight year, I think tomorrow, and that'll be their second to the last day for it. They unfortunately started it last weekend. I thought they started it this weekend, but every year they do it back-to-back weekends. I think it's usually the 2nd and 3rd weekends, but it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday they do it. So tomorrow we will be taking our pup there, and right there in Ramsey. It's off of 161st Avenue. And lots of cool things to do, even if you're obviously I recommend you bring a puppy, but even if you don't, it's really cool to go there and check out everything that they got going on. We brought the little guy last year too, and he had a ball. So like I said, it's held at the Armstrong Ranch Kennels, 4.5 miles west of Anoka, Minnesota. So go check them out these last couple of days if you guys haven't already. And now for our pro sports, we actually have a decent amount to talk about this week, in terms of the Timberwolves and the Vikings. Not a ton to report on for the Wild. I've been keeping my eyes out for rumors, for things that may be happening that could happen. Because last time I looked at it earlier this morning, we do still have some roster spots to fill. Not seeing a whole lot. I did see a article that was published earlier today, excuse me, about Bill Guerin just kind of opening up about the Wild living in quote unquote cap hell. Of course, for those that don't know, talking about 16% of our cap being taken up by Zach Parise and Ryan Suter buyouts, who do not play for the Wild any longer. But by the conclusion of this interview and this talk, it was clear Bill Guerin isn't lowering his expectations for the Wild despite that 16% of the cap between them. This is what Guerin had to say on Tuesday in an interview with KFan's Dan Barrero in front of an in-studio audience. He said, "I've always maintained that we have high expectations. The expectations every night are to win. The expectations every year is to win, and I don't care what our situation is," which is the good mindset to have. We clearly are paying a decent amount of money to two guys who don't play for us anymore. And knowing that he's not getting bogged down on that is awesome. He went on to say, "We're going to come out of cap hell in 2 years. First of all, we are going to have players that are going to we are going to need to sign. So some of that money in that $15 million will go to current players. So it's not just going to be on a big spending spree that we just go shopping down the aisles." Believe it or not, reading this article, Barrero kind of pushed back, asking, "Well, now you're lowering the expectations again. The fans, they want big signings. People have been waiting for that." And this is why I've been amazing and high on Guerin from the beginning. He said, "We will get signings. I think the most important thing, though, is that we do it in smart, educated way, that we've done all of our other moves. We have to make sure that if we go out and make a big signing, it's got to be with the right guy, because if we go out and spend foolishly and we bring in the wrong people, then we handicap ourselves again." Which again is very smart to say. You don't always take a look at some of these teams in the past. Look at the Rangers. They had a bunch of stars and they weren't able to do shit last year, So for him to be able to understand, and again, he's a former player, so that definitely helps, but for him to come out and be like, "Look, we don't need all these huge guys. We need the right guys to kind of fill in the places and kind of go where we need them to go." Because I've said it, 500 times, if I've said it once, I don't think we're that many guys away. I think we need to get lucky with the year when we eventually win the cup in the hopefully the next 5 years. We need to start off with home ice advantage. That is huge. That is key. I don't think we've had that since 2012, 13, or 14, something like that. So I think that holds a big key to us getting over that hump. Excuse me. And again, I think, clearly we didn't do it last year, but I don't think we are that far personnel-wise away from winning a cup. We're a couple unfortunate bounces, even though we didn't look like we were playing very good in the last two or three games of that series. But the first, what was that? Two or three games before that, or yeah, three games before that, we were a couple bounces away from like having series leads, and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, stay tuned. I know we're coming up here, excuse me, on the hockey season, which will be opening up the beginning of October. Still a couple months to go, but still excited. Still excited. Then, just earlier today, the NBA announced its schedules, which also means the Minnesota Timberwolves schedule came out too. So it was announced that the season will be opening up on October, what is that, 24th. And we'll open up with a back-to-back doubleheader on TNT at 6:30 Central Standard Time. The Denver Nuggets will be hoisting their banner, taking on their foes that they beat to get to the finals, the Los Angeles Lakers. And then following that game up, the Golden State Warriors will be hosting the new-look Golden State Warriors will be hosting the new-look Phoenix Suns. So that is what we have for opening night. Opening week will, on the 25th, have Boston, New York, and others. Sorry about that. Not really sure what, excuse me, happened there. There was a lot going on. Apologize. But yeah, like I mentioned, Wednesday, the second day of the season at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, will have the New York Knicks hosting the Boston Celtics. While the second day will also show Victor Wembanyama's first NBA game hosting the Dallas Mavericks. And then on the 27th, getting a couple new teams. We got the Miami Heat going to Boston at 6:30, and the Warriors going to the Sacramento Kings at 9 Eastern time. So that's just a couple games in the early part of the season in general. As for our beloved Minnesota Timberwolves, they will open the season. They will open the season on the second day of the season on October 25th, facing off against the Toronto Raptors in Toronto, before coming home to host the Miami Heat on the 28th, and then going to Atlanta on the 30th, before staying home for a four-game series, and then after that, going on a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 game road trip. So, super, super excited for the season. The Timberwolves this year do not have a Christmas game, which honestly, I don't really put much stock into that. Truthfully, I think as good as I think this team has the potential to be this upcoming season, I think, you know, Christmas Day games are more about teams the league wants you to see and not necessarily the best teams, like the Lakers, the Boston Celtics, you know, whatever team LeBron is on, whatever team Luka's on, some of those teams will just always be playing on Christmas. And that's fine. I got nothing wrong with that because truthfully, if I have basketball and on in the background on a day like that, those are the types of teams and guys I want to see. Anyway, so yeah, and then just kind of fast forwarding, obviously, you guys can go to ESPN.com, NBA.com, and look at the full schedule yourself. I'm not going to give you guys every 82 games, but they will conclude this season playing three of their last four games at home. They'll have host the Washington Wizards April 9th, go to Denver on the 10th for their last away game before hosting the Atlanta Hawks and the Phoenix Suns on the 12th and 14th, respectively. And then hopefully playoffs will start and they won't have to worry too much about that dreaded play-in game. So, yeah, that's what we have for the Wolves. Again, no extension on Jaden McDaniels. I can't remember if we've mentioned this. And I have to say, there's two sides to this. I am obviously really, I don't know if upset is the right word, but I'm really kind of frustrated we haven't extended him. But I did just see, again, within the last week, I don't know if we've already talked about this, he technically is under contract this upcoming season on a team option. We're obviously going to pick up that option. So the fact that he's under contract by us wanting him next season may play into, not the urgency to get him that right now. But he is under contract. I would assume, trying to fill the last couple roster spots, that has to be one of the top priorities for our front office. And if not, we need new people involved. So, yeah, that is what I have for the Wolves. And then, yeah, like I said, we have a decent amount to talk on the Vikings. They lost their first, excuse me, they lost their first preseason game to the, why am I blanking? The Seattle Seahawks, unfortunately, by a score of 13 to 24. However, there are a lot of things to take away from this, and a lot of really good things to take away from, and that's going to be one of the first things we talk about. So watching this game, number one, I think Ty Chandler after this game has solidified himself as RB2 behind Madison. I know, yes, if you guys have been reading and looking, it does look like we're trying to add some veteran presence in the likes of Mike Davis, Adrian Peterson, Kareem Hunt, somebody like that, just because our running back room, as good as it looks and as good as it is very young. So I anticipate us trying probably signing one of these guys, but them not getting a ton of reps and just being more of that, like I said, that veteran presence. But yeah, like I said, the first and biggest thing I think we got to talk about, watch out for Ty Chandler, essentially. Like we mentioned and we've been talking about, Madison took over the starting running back role from Cook and expectedly didn't play during the preseason game. But behind him, the Vikings have a bunch of running backs competing for snaps and job. And Ty Chandler looked just as incredible as he did in the 2022 preseason. He was heavily featured in both, I thought, the passing and the running game. Starting quarterback for the game, Nick Mullins, looked in his direction on a regular basis, throwing the ball to him 4 times for 29 yards in the first quarter alone. He also added 41 yards on 11 carries. And don't get me wrong, I know these are average-looking numbers, but he made it look a lot better than that. And like I said, with that, I think Ty Chandler sure appears to be the front runner for the backup behind Madison, as he certainly earned some carries in the regular season. Even though we do have guys like McBride and stuff like that. The second thing I actually noticed, was Nick Mullins doesn't seem to be, all things considered, that bad of a backup. He seems like a pretty good option for a backup if you've watched quarterback, unless Kirk Cousins has an actual injury that impedes him from throwing the ball or something like that. He's usually going to play. If like I said, if you watched a quarterback, you saw that he was pretty much injured in some capacity almost all season last year, and he hardly missed a snap, let alone a game. But with that, Nick Mullins is, I would say, probably one of the more experienced backups in the NFL. Whenever Jimmy Garoppolo missed time, it became the Mullins show in San Francisco last year. And the veteran is a true gunslinger in his career with a stat line of 27 TDs and 23 INTs to prove it. Either throwing, essentially going big or going home with his throws. While Sean Mannion kind of struggled in previous years for us and looked awful, I think the drop off between Kirk and Mullins isn't as big as it was with Mannion. I think he played fantastic. He stayed calm under pressure. He made solid reads. He was pretty accuracy throwing the ball. His touchdown pass in the second quarter to Nick Muse was an absolute dime. And for those that do not remember, his numbers for the game were 14 of 20 passes for 139 yards with one TD and no turnovers, which is kind of a good thing because rookie Jaren Hall has been flashing his potential and athleticism here and there, but hasn't looked like a real threat to take Mullins' backup position. The third thing I noticed, the new defensive coordinator, Brian Flores, bring the heat. And he didn't wait long to unleash some nasty blitzes. Most teams play pretty vanilla defenses in the preseason without showing much creativity, I will admit. But Flores didn't give a shit about that. There were plenty of reps with five or more defenders rushing the passer, and his undrafted rookie Ivan Pace, who you've probably been seeing all over Instagram, excuse me, played a significant role in it. The pass rush specialist from the interior linebacker position showed why he has been high praise at trade camp, like I just mentioned. And with the two starters, Brian Asamoah and Jordan Hicks, out, he was the top linebacker for us on the field. And then the last two things I noticed, two or four, Jordan Addison's, momentum has still been going. He only played three drives, which I didn't all surprise me. Didn't get too much run, but he did play well in his limited action. He was targeted four times, twice without a real chance to make a play, unfortunately. He made an absolutely amazing toe touch catch that was actually ruled incomplete. That would have for sure been overruled in a regular season game if Kevin O'Connell was able to challenge. But he also later caught a 22-yard pass from Mullen that was pretty underthrown. Had it not been a larger gain was possible for him and possibly a touchdown. So having a strong training camp, Addison has been the real deal so far, and I'm excited for this season. As far as our offensive weapons are concerned, I think, as much as Hockenson provides that number two threat behind JJ, he's been sick and hasn't been that out there with training camp and all that kind of stuff. But from what I've been seeing and hearing from guys like Jalen Naylor, and trying to get Tristan Jahare or something like that, is pretty remarkable. Especially with Addison, everybody knows what KJ is able to do. I think it's going to be very competitive for the two through, four, two through five spots for the Vikings, which will make this offense, a big threat. And then the final thing I noticed is there is a clear, and it's very obvious, the cornerback hierarchy here on the Vikings. Byron Murphy is without a doubt the top guy in the room. They held their pricey free agent signing out for the game, but I can never pronounce his first name, and I apologize. Akilab Evans and Mekhi Blackman were clearly the next two players in the position, followed up by backups Joe Juwan Williams and Andrew Booth, which really makes me sad. I was really looking forward to Andrew Booth being a dog, and especially Andrew Booth. He just struggled badly. Blackman and Evans both looked fine, especially the rookie Blackman made a couple of great plays. He allowed a receiving touchdown on just a phenomenal pass, I thought, by Drew Lock, but was in very tight coverage as well. And Murphy and Blackman, I believe, have the flexibility to play the slot and outside, allowing Flores to kind of play some matchup-specific defenses. But I have to say, watching this game, it is obvious, and I wish it wasn't, because now, with this, unless something crazy changes in the next couple weeks, offenses know, hey, if Joe Juwan is out there or Andrew Booth is out there, go at them. Which is, unfortunate, but it is what it is. So yeah, with that, the Vikings are currently getting ready for a game on Saturday, 2 days from now, on the 19th, in US Bank Stadium at 7 p.m. against the Titans. I imagine most starters that are healthy may get one drive. We may see the likes of JJ, Kirk. It's kind of hard to tell now that there's only three preseason games. But yeah, it'll be interesting. And then obviously, you know, the big news, Dalvin Cook within the last week announced that he was signing with the Jets. And gosh, I gotta say, I love Aaron Rodgers. As you know, as a football fan, I think he's great. But I'm interested to see how that team ends up doing. New system. Obviously, talent-wise and on paper, they're one of the teams to beat in the AFC, especially the AFC East. But they still got to mesh. They still got to coexist. And very much like we talked about with the Wild and the NHL, you can have the best team on paper, like talent-wise. It doesn't guarantee you X amount of wins. It doesn't guarantee you a playoff spot. It doesn't even guarantee you a Super Bowl spot. So, again, talent-wise, they'll definitely be a team to look out for. But we're just going to have to wait and see it. You know, Dalvin Cook, wish him the best of luck. And we'll have to see how he ends up doing and if he can stay healthy or not. I think that will probably have a big, big say with how he ends up doing. Excuse me. This year. So that is about it, what we have for you guys tonight on the podcast. Lastly, before we let you guys go, wanted to give you another reminder that for the second year in a row, we are doing our mini weekend NFL pick'ems. So once again, to get there, go to ESPN.com, and then on the top ticker where it says ESPN, scroll all the way over until you hover over fantasy, go down and click Pigskin Pick'em. Once that loads up, you want to click on where it says Make Picks, Groups, click on Groups, and in the search group, type the, T-H-E, and M-I-N-N-Y, the mini, and it should be the only group that comes up. And once again, just like last year, very much, the amount of people we're able to get in here all depends on how many people we pay out. Once again, last year, I think we paid out 5 or 6 people in merch. So had a super big outing last year for the first time, and hope to do even more this year. So with that, I will leave you with, remember, this podcast is about you guys, the listeners. If you have a question you want me to address, or a question or topic you want me to address, reach out on Instagram, TikTok, or Twitter, or by emailing us. Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram handles are at Mini Weekend, and email is miniweekend@gmail.com. That's MINNYWEEKEND @gmail.com. And be sure to let us know if you'd like to stay anonymous to your questions as well. Also, find us and give us a follow on Instagram and Twitter, where there are giveaways and you can stay up to date on all things Mini Weekend. And lastly, make sure you hit that subscribe button to get notified of the new episode as soon as it comes out. Until next time, Mini.